You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Like some bad movie.
Oh yeah,
deja vu going on right here.
How about you guys? Any of you got deja vu? I got the deja vu. I got it. Oh man, Wicked Part One. I like that you threw that in there.
Well, you gotta throw the Part One in there to underline. No, well, we'll get to that.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah.
Hello, welcome to Movie Sucktastic. Long time no see.
Hey, there's me, and there's you. We are in.
Hey,
we're in the video.
Perfect.
Perfect.
So we're breaking our holiday hiatus as we always do with a look at the Oscar top 10 or the Oscar Best Picture nominations, which there's 10 of. So we like to look at the nominations, talk about them, and then later on that month, review them all.
Yes, it is a mad dash because lately we've been getting 10 nominations every fucking year now.
Yes, and we do this because we are, as my coworker today pointed out, cinematic masochists.
I was just going to call us masochists, but I like the term cinematic. Masochist.
He said that. I was like, you know what? I couldn't have said that better myself. Thank you for that.
I actually like that.
But yeah,
like
we're going to slog through all of these.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the best pictures. We'll talk about Scott's favorite categories, which are the adapted screenplay and original screenplay. And we'll throw in the best actor, actress, and supporting as well. And like he said, we're going to review all of these. We're actually going to review the film Wicked later tonight. And we're going to do the other 9. And as a matter of fact, I already figured out the time schedule. We can't take a week off.
Okay.
Because the last Thursday before the Oscars is, I forget what day it is, but that weekend is March. That Sunday is March 2nd. So the 10th film we review on the last Thursday, we can't take any time off. If we do, we have to double up.
No, we're good. I think we're going to run smooth. And also, a quick shout out to anybody watching us instead of listening to us. We've been on YouTube recently. Well, we've been on it for a while, but I've been like kind of beefing up our back episodes recently along with some new material. And I just wanted to welcome anybody who's watching, and thanks. We appreciate you joining the conversation.
Yeah, no, we really do. We really do. Yep. All right, so you want to just jump right into this?
Yes.
All right, so there are, as I mentioned, there are 10 nominations. There's 10. And the first one, it's the one that's on the screen right now, is Anora, which is, I mean, I'm interested in seeing this. I think the story is kind of interesting.
Give me the rundown on it, because I saw the trailer and I'm totally disinterested. So what's the synopsis?
It's this Russian kid who is staying in the United States, but his family is part of an oligarch, and he meets this girl who can speak Russian. I guess her name is Anora. I'm assuming that's what it is. And she is a stripper / prostitute. So he asks her to be his girlfriend for the night. And then I think he asks her for the week. But they end up falling in love and they want to get married. Or they do get married. And of course the family objects. So I'm pretty sure that's the story in a nutshell. And I'm sure it doesn't have a happy ending. But again, I haven't seen this thing. I mean, because when you're dealing with an oligarch family, I'm assuming
oligarch,
oligarch,
oligarch, Oligarch, I believe, is what you're trying to say. No, I didn't want to.
I kind of thought I was pronouncing it wrong. I kind of did think I was pronouncing it wrong. They kind of don't take no for an answer. It's like, no, you can't marry this person. You have to marry someone that we approve of. So I think this movie is going to be a lot similar to that. That's what I'm guessing.
It sounds like a cross between Pretty Woman and Romeo and Juliet.
Kind of. And the girl that plays Nora, her name is Mikey Madison, and she's been getting a lot of attention because she was also nominated for Best Actress for this film. Mm-hmm. I know we'll get to that when we get to that category, but she was nominated for this as well. Now, I watched the first couple of minutes of this, and I had been reading that she was kind of a lock to get nominated for Best Actress, and I'm like, her performance was kind of interesting, and I'm like, oh, this is what they're going to nominate, huh? Kind of an interesting performance. And I'm like, all right, I'll have to see if it grows on me. Because in the first few minutes of the film, I'm not digging her performance. But
let's state up front, we're not the target audience for this film.
Certainly not. No. Certainly not.
So we're going in begrudgingly, but fairly.
Correct. So that's the first one, Anora.
Right.
And that's, from what I understand, the basic premise of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you pronounce it? Oligarch?
I don't care.
No,
Oligarch. Oligarchy.
So because there's an O in there, and I don't know, I guess I was taking the British approach to pronouncing it.
Put the willy bolly in the big bang bong.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a really political person, and that term has been coming up lately recently for obvious reasons.
Weird. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, this is an
Oscar. No. We're not doing that. We're not doing that.
What's next?
Next film up on the list is The Brutalist, starring Adrian Brody, who, from what I understand, might be a front runner for a Best Actor Oscar, which is interesting because
not anymore.
All right, we'll get to that when we get to the Best Actor, but it would be interesting if he won, because he won an Oscar for The Pianist, where it was like during the Holocaust.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We all know that Scott loves Adrian Brody. Here's the thing with Scott and Adrian Brody. I'll just get into it super quick. He recognizes that he's a good actor, but he doesn't fucking care.
I still don't like him. Still don't like him.
When we saw The Jacket, Scott's like, I fucking hate Adrian Brody, but goddamn can he act in this movie.
Exactly, yeah. Sometimes he does it. Sometimes he doesn't. So The Brutalist is pretty much, it's a biopic about a Jewish architect that comes over after the Holocaust.
It's after, yeah.
Right. Which this is a film that, you know, it's about the Holocaust. It's indirectly about the Holocaust, so it's a shoo-in to win. But with the recent controversy, I don't think it's going to win. I just wanted to throw that out right now.
What controversy? I haven't heard of this.
We'll bring it up when we get the Best Actor.
No shit. Now, because of the controversy for Adrian Brody, I'm assuming obviously it has something to do with him. You think
it's about the film.
It's about the film.
It affects the film as a whole. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll get to it when we get to Best Actor. All right. Fine.
Yeah.
Because this thing, or this film, it's on everyone's
How long is the goddamn thing?
It's got an intermission. That's how long. It's like 3 hours, 40 minutes or something like that.
God damn it. All right.
Yeah, it has an intermission. I think I read somewhere that the last film that was released theatrically that had an intermission was Gandhi or some shit. So.
That's what this film thinks it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's filmed in VistaVision. It's supposed to be, you know, see it on the biggest screen you can. That's what, you know, all the commercials, all the TV spots. And I look at this film and I look at its range as far as cinematography and cinematically, and I can see, I'm like, you know what? I think it probably would be cool to see this on a large screen. It really would. I'm not going to. I'll wait till it comes out digitally. Hopefully that happens before the Oscars premiere. But the thing is, I enjoy when somebody says this is a masterpiece, because then I feel like I need to see it and make my own decision. It's, you know, it'll be, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
We may have to watch this one together.
Dude, it's a 4-hour movie.
Not all at once.
It's the fucking Justice League of dramas.
I mean, I can sit through it all, but I wouldn't do that to you.
Oh, I can do it.
I can do one sitting.
No, I can do one sitting. The problem is, it's going to have to be at night when everyone's asleep, because I'm going to be called 5-10 times while we watch it, because it's just too damn long.
Obviously, isolation is the key to doing that. Yes.
Yes. So, all right. So, The Brutalist. Same here. The Brutalist, which is directed by Brady. It's not Corbett. It's Corbet.
Corbet. Okay.
That's how they said his name at the nominations today. Brady Corbet.
Corbet.
Shouldn't there be like a little, little apostrophe or something over the T?
The English language doesn't make sense to begin with. Just don't rub it in on a name.
It was interesting because he's done a lot of acting, and I think he's directed a few movies, but not many, 4 or 5, something like that. And for the most part, they're generally well received. But this thing is like off the charts as far as what people are considering. They say. Clearly, it's the best thing he's ever done. They're saying, you know, it's interesting. We'll get to it. You know, Guy Pearce is supposed to be amazing in this, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I like him. I like him quite a bit. I think he's a very good actor. So The Brutalist. That's number 2.
Yep.
All right, moving on. A Complete Unknown. James Mangold, Bob Dylan, biopic.
Biopic.
Biopic, Timothy Chalamet,
who's dead to me since Wonka. Sorry.
Oh, stop it! Stop
no,
it!
No, just... he doesn't deserve. He does. No, he was involved in that. He doesn't deserve anything.
You need to chill.
No, I'm just saying.
The kid does pretty good stuff.
I have zero interest in watching this film. I don't care about. I don't like biopics, and I have zero interest in biopics about musicians at all.
So, I mean, I'll watch it.
It's just me.
We have to, but I like enough of Bob Dylan's music, and they filmed a part of it in Jersey, and I'm a sucker for that. As a matter of fact, the Bruce Springsteen film was filmed at one of my libraries. They filmed a scene at one of my libraries, which was interesting because we had to move all of our machines out of there, and we had to move any technology, and the room had to be redone, and then it had to be put back when they were finished. It was a real pain in the butt, but it's cool that it's that film. You know, a scene was filmed at one of my libraries, and the movie's supposed to be coming out sometime around fall, like Oscar time for this year. So we might be talking about that movie around this time next year too. So, but I don't know it. I don't know. James Mangold is a very good and very competent director. And he, you know what? I don't think I've ever seen anything that he's made that I did not like. He just makes good films. He just does. Night and Day. I love that fucking movie. You know? He's a very competent director. We'll see what happens. I think you'll walk away probably liking this film. That's what I think.
I don't think so. But
you don't think so?
Willing to,
okay.
But I'm gonna dive in. But I'll give it a shot.
All right. Moving on. Moving on. Conclave. Rated PG.
Oh.
I can't even remember the last time, other than a children's film, which doesn't happen very often, that got nominated for Best Picture that was rated PG.
How long is this one?
Well, I have to look it up.
I thought you usually know this. That's why I asked. I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't look it up.
It's definitely too long.
Actually, you know what?
The film's about...
I actually want to say that it's under 2 hours.
It's about choosing the Pope.
Yeah. It's exactly...
The intrigue.
It's exactly 2 hours.
The political intrigue. That's too long.
I don't know. I'm not
the target audience. So again, it's a hard one for me until I see it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see it. So.
So it's from director. Who was the director? He's the guy that did All Quiet on the Western Front. Mm-hmm. It was directed by Edward Berger. Edward Berger. Of all the films, let me take a quick look.
It seems like it's an espionage. It's like espionage in the Vatican. And I don't like espionage films either. So I just, there's nothing about it that's appealing to me.
Yeah, just taking a quick glance at all of the films that are nominated, this is the film that I probably want to watch the least.
Oh, no, that's coming up in a couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, next up then. Dune Part 2. Now, this movie came out in March. This came out months and months ago. It was actually supposed to come out fall, winter of 2023. But I think they very smartly knew that it would have performed better financially in 2024. Plus, they were probably also looking to get a nomination for Best Picture, because the first one was so damn good. So they released it in March of this year, and it did extremely well. I mean, it made hundreds of millions of dollars. I think it made close to $1 billion.
I saw it in the theater with my father.
Oh, did you? That's awesome. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, if any film that gets me interested in sci-fi, it's got to be good.
Yeah, it's directed by Denis Villeneuve. Also, extremely competent director. I mean, everything he's done has been excellent. I mean, even I couldn't even, if I rated all of his films from his, you know, my least favorite to my most favorite, my least favorite was still excellent. Like, that's how good this guy is. If anyone hasn't seen the film that he did called Prisoners with Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal.
I still haven't seen it.
It needs to be put on the top of your list. It's fucking good.
It's on my short list. Now it can't, because I got to watch these damn films.
Well, I know. But it's that fucking good. Now, I'm curious that when Dune Part 3 comes out, because it's going to be a trilogy, if they're going to pull a Return of the King on this film.
Probably.
And possibly, you know, give the third film Best Picture, you know, as a whole, kind of like what they did with Return of the King. So I'm wondering if they're going to do that. Moving on. It's another Timothée Chalamet movie. Emilia Perez. Is this the one that you don't want to watch the most?
This is the finger list.
This one here, huh?
I was uninterested in this film before I found out that there was controversy about the director not bothering with any research into Mexican culture, like purposely not doing any research, and also the film being trans, but he didn't do any outreach to the trans community for any kind of research because he didn't care. Not only because of all that, then I found out it was a fucking musical.
Oh God, is it?
Yeah.
Is that why there's three songs nominated?
And we're talking cop rock level musical, Joey.
Oh boy. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just thought that it had three songs written for the film.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. It's a musical.
So this movie here, that's the reason why Wicked has no nominated songs. This film has three of them.
But they're not original songs. They're from the... I mean, that might be the reason, because that's its best original song, but they're not original. They're from the...
The Broadway musical. Show?
The Broadway show. So maybe that counts? I don't know.
I guess, but since it's been put in a film, it's technically original to the source? I don't know. I don't know how that I don't know how that shit works.
I don't.
Just because it's never been in a movie before, and the movie is what's being nominated. But I guess maybe you're right. Maybe it does fall under some weird guideline, some weird line in the sand of, yeah, no, it's been in a Broadway, so it's not original. Yeah. It's been done elsewhere.
I haven't seen anybody saying Wicked was snubbed for Best Original Song, so that leads me to believe it's normal. What I have seen is a lot of people pissed off that Emilia Perez is like sweeping the Oscar nominees, but the challengers, which I have no interest in seeing either, but over and over again, I keep seeing, this gets nominated and the challengers doesn't. It's like, okay, all right.
Yeah, because Emilia Perez has the most nominations with 13. And the only reason why it has 13 is because it has three songs that are nominated. Everything outside of songs is if you were going to compare it to, like, say, The Brutalist has 10 nominations. You know, Brutalist doesn't have any original song. It's not that kind of movie. So if you want to take the original song nominations away, Emilia Perez and The Brutalist are even.
At this point, you're just dickering with numbers. It doesn't matter.
No, I know that. I'm just saying this is a musical, so it has more nominations because of music.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
So, all right. So, you know what? I didn't know that about this movie. Yeah, so, yeah, no, I'm with you. I'll watch Conclave all day long. All day I'll watch Conclave.
Yeah, no, you're like me. I wasn't that against it until I heard it was a musical. And I was like, oh, no.
And then you said Cop Rock. You fucking said Cop Rock.
Yeah. I watched some clips of the musical, and I was like, yeah, this is Cop Rock.
Fuck. All right. Great. All right, moving on. The film called I'm Still Here.
Another biopic?
Right. I actually don't know what this is about at all. I actually didn't know this film existed until I heard it got nominated for Best Picture today. I was actually surprised because it was a couple of other films that they were talking about getting nominated. There was a couple other movies, and I can't think of them right now. But I had them in my Oscar folder, you know.
I deleted Here the minute it didn't get nominated. It's like, oh, thank Christ, I don't have to sit through this. Oh, man, that was close.
Yeah, but, you know, like a complete unknown. They were saying that it might get nominated, might not, and then
I was hearing that.
There was probably three or four other movies that I felt, and I don't remember what, actually, I could just pull them up real quick, that I felt were probably going to get nominated instead.
Don't get sidetracked. We're already over time.
All right. I mean, I can just quickly just name a couple, just because if anyone has, the problem that I have, I need to hear at least a couple. Movies like, let's see. They were talking a lot about Long Legs. They were actually talking quite a bit about Long Legs, saying that might get a nomination.
If that had been nominated for Best Picture, I would have tapped out.
No, you wouldn't.
That would have been ridiculous. No, I that would have been the end for me. No.
Okay. the movie Queer. James Bond,
that didn't get a nomination.
He didn't even get nominated for Best Actor for that. I was surprised by that. Ray Fiennes did another movie called The Return that has been doing well. That didn't get anything either. Kinds of Kindness, which was Yorgo, that director, the guy that did the movie last year with Emma Stone. She won Best. What the hell was the name of that? It was like he was like a Frankenstein. He put her together.
The words you said pushed the title out of my head. It's like Precious Creatures or something like that.
Poor Things.
Poor Things.
Poor Things. Poor Things. Yeah. very close. So, things like that. They were talking about, say, the movie Night Bitch. They were saying it's not a good movie. I watched it. I thought it was pretty good. But they were saying Amy Adams, she's a lock for Best Actress. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, I just thought that was interesting, too. Anyway. All right. So, I'm Still Here, directed by Walter Salles.
Right.
Never heard of it. Don't know anything about it. I don't know if it is. It's like, so it's got music in it too, or is it about an author? Like, what is it? I don't know anything. Zero.
Read the synopsis.
I didn't have the synopsis in front of me.
Well, I mean, IMDb it real quick.
Oh, God.
So we can at least like acknowledge what it's about.
Yeah, but okay. I count on you for that.
I thought you had that. I'm sorry. I thought you had that.
Mother is forced to reinvent herself when her family's life is shattered by an act of arbitrary violence during the tightening grip of military dictatorship in Brazil, 1971. Oh, okay.
Yes. So it's a historical biopic, and you know my feeling about stuff like that. I'm like, watch a documentary. So that I'm not the target audience.
Same. But it's not Amelia Perez. It's not Amelia Perez. It's not Cop Rock.
Oh, sure.
All right, moving on. Nickel Boys. Directed by Rammel Ross. I will pull up the synopsis because I know jack shit about this one, too. Yeah, well, here was the thing. This is another film that they were talking about that might get nominated. And they were saying, yeah, but it probably won't. But it did. Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Colson Whitehead, Nickel Boys chronicles the powerful friendship between two young African-American men navigating the harrowing trials of reform school together in Florida.
And I think it's a specific reform school that was later revealed to be like a shithole or a hellhole. Damn it!
2 hours 20 minutes.
The demonetization jar. All right.
2 hours 20 minutes. I'm Still Here. The one we just talked about. 2 hours 16 minutes.
Too long. They're all too long. There's no reason for this.
This year, all these movies are over 2 hours. I think.
Yeah.
With the exception of, I believe...
Of Conclave.
Well, it's exactly 2 hours.
Right, you said over, so I'm saying Conclave. Yeah.
I'll say this, 2 hours are over, all right? I believe that The Substance, which is the next film we're going to talk about, I want to say that's under 2 hours.
No. That's like 2 hours and 20.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Damn.
It doesn't feel like it because it's so fucking good.
Oh, it's 2 hours and 21 minutes. That movie, in a perfect...
It's a tight 220.
Yeah, in a perfect world, this is your best picture. Because I can guarantee you this is the film that I am going to enjoy the most. You know, so the director, I can't even pronounce her name, Coralie Fargeat, it's F-A-R-G-E-A-T. She said she took inspiration from Cronenberg and The Fly when she imagined this film. And when I heard that, I always felt that movies like The Thing and The Fly, they're horror masterpieces. But who the hell is texting me? Jesus. I feel... All right, it's going in the fucking drawer. Bye. I feel like movies back then, because both of those films came out in the 80s, they were overlooked. A movie like that would never have gotten nominated for Best Picture. Ever.
Yeah, no. And again, they weren't recognizing that horror could do anything. I mean, the Thing was a critical and financial failure at the time.
Yeah, but if you look at, say, a film like this, it proves that a film like The Fly, like, I'm not even saying The Thing, even though it's the greatest horror movie ever made, like, a film like The Fly could and should have been nominated for a a Best Picture nomination. Absolutely, it could have, because it goes beyond the level of horror. It goes down a dramatic line that is unmatched. You know, like film like this does the same thing.
Save some for the reviews.
I know. I love this movie so fucking much.
Yeah.
I actually went and I watched her other film, Revenge.
I've seen that years ago. Yeah, that's a good one.
I actually watched it a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that. It was like a lazy Saturday. Everything I wanted to get done, I got done already. Mare and the kids were somewhere else. And I'm like, I had the house to myself. I'm like, I'm watching this. I'm watching
it. Into masturbation.
I'm watching this on the big TV with the surround turned all the way up. And it did not disappoint. I really enjoyed that film too. She's only made two movies, that one and this one. Hollywood, she is on their fucking radar now. And they're going to let her make whatever she wants next. And I can't fucking wait to see what that's going to be. I cannot talk more highly of this film. I really can't. I loved it so much. It starts one way, ends a whole other way, and you're not going to be disappointed. That's just the way I'll throw that out there.
So now, on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah. On the other end of the spectrum. Oh, you mean the last film?
Yeah.
Well, hold on real quick. If we do pairings, what does this get paired with? What could it possibly be paired with?
I don't want to talk about that right now, because it's going to be an odd pairing anyway, because we're going to have an odd number after we review Wicked tonight.
Okay. And the last film is Wicked. Wicked, Wicked, Wicked. It's the last one.
Yes.
Watch this today. I watched this today.
So yeah, so we're actually reviewing Wicked like tonight. So that'll be up shortly. So we're not even going to talk about it. It's nominated for Best Picture. We'll talk more when that comes up.
Yeah, everybody knew it was going to get nominated, and it did.
Yep.
So.
And it's going to win.
Oh, I don't think so. Nah, I don't think so.
Okay.
No. All right. So real quick, before we end this episode. Let's do the, because you said you got news about The Brutalist, so let's do the actor actresses real quick.
Okay.
All right, I'm just going to blow through these. I'm not going to, you know, just going to name them. So actress in a supporting role is Monica Barbaro for A Complete Unknown, Ariana Grande for Wicked, Felicity Jones for The Brutalist, Isabella Rossellini for Conclave, and Zoe Saldana for Emilia Perez. Actor in a supporting role, you have Yoro Borisov for Anora. Oh, he's the boyfriend. Kieran Culkin for A Real Pain. Edward Norton for A Complete Unknown. Guy Pearce for The Brutalist. Jeremy Strong for The Apprentice. Actress in a leading role, you have Cynthia Erivo for Wicked. Carla Sofia Gascon for Emilia Perez, Mikey Madison for Anora, Demi Moore for The Substance, Fernanda Torres for I'm Still Here. I don't know. Demi Moore might win this Oscar. She might win this Oscar for The Substance.
She might.
How fucking cool would that be?
You know, I'm feeling good about that.
Winning an Oscar for basically a horror movie. Yeah, almost pretty much a horror movie. That's awesome.
That would give me some faith in the industry again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actor in a leading role. Sebastian Stan for The Apprentice, playing Donald J. Trump. Actually, when that movie came out, I had zero desire to see it. So then I saw that it got nominated today, which I was actually surprised about. I'm like, oh, I thought that was just kind of like a throwaway movie. And then I watched the trailer, which I never did. And I watched it today, and I'm like, I think I want to see this movie. Not because of anything other than the performances are strong, and it just looks like it's a true story, and I'm a sucker for those, too. Mm-hmm. Ralph Fiennes for Conclave, Colman Domingo for Sing Sing, Timothy Chalamet for A Complete Unknown, and Adrian Brody for The Brutalist.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the controversy? Everybody wants to know.
So this popped up this week, and you can easily Google it, obviously.
Now, real quick, before you say anything, there was that huge controversy with what's his face? Shit. He did that movie. Oh,
killing me.
No, I know. Casey Affleck. What was that movie that he did? Something by the Sea or something like that.
Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, he did that film, and you know, that was where his family, you know, got into that horrible, you know, accident and whatnot. And he had that controversy around him, those sexual allegations that, you know, and it followed him all the way to the Oscars, and he won the Best Actor anyway.
And so I told you, this is not about Adrian Brody as much as it's about the film.
Okay.
So what the controversy is about is that the editor of the film came out and admitted that they used AI to enhance Adrian Brody's accent.
Oh.
Because, you know, it's hard to make the accent. You know, that thing that actors do, that the thing where they pretend to be somebody else, they used AI to improve his acting of the accent because the accent's so difficult.
Oh yeah, he's not winning.
Yeah, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't get it,
if he does, that is the beginning of the end of like fucking Hollywood. That's it. That's it. That's just the downfall. That's it. It's all good.
So
flush it at that point.
When did that come out?
Sometime this week, I believe.
Still got nominated for the Oscar.
Well, I mean, the nomination voting has been going on, so I think it was too late to pull him or anything. Mm. I think there's debate about whether he should be disqualified because they disqualified what's his name? Enrico or some, I forget the name. They disqualified somebody from the original score. For some reason, and now people were pointing out, it's like, oh, you're gonna disqualify him, but you're not gonna disqualify
Adrian Brody. Got it.
Yeah, so he's not disqualified, but as far as voting for best, I think they'd be fools to vote him as, you know, to give him the Oscar. Fools, damn fools.
So, you know, Sebastian Stan playing Donald J. Trump and Hollywood not really liking him at all.
No, they're pussies now. No, they're backing off. They're not going to give it to him. They're backing off on that shit now.
That's what I mean. It's like he's probably delivers an amazing performance that they're going to be like, no, we can't give anything good to somebody that bad.
No, because they're fucking cowards. That's why.
So who's the front runner now? It's probably Coleman Domingo for Sing Sing.
See, that's why I think Wicked. I mean, Best Picture. Sorry, for Best Actor. I don't know. I definitely have to see the film. I haven't seen.
Well, here's the thing. You know, Adrian Brody, you know, assisted AI for the accent shouldn't take away from The Brutalist being the front runner. No, it should not. It could take away from him getting that Best Actor.
It's a stain. It's a stain on the film.
I think with
a lot of artists, I'm drawing a hard line on this AI controversy. This is the beginning of the end for creators of any kind. And so I take a hard stance on that. That's just me.
All right.
And I think they'd be fools, damn fools, to award something that AI was involved with. We're not talking, you know, CGI or anything. This is AI. Big difference.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay. I'm calm.
You're calm. Let's go with the writing categories real quick.
Yes, yes.
You want to do adapted or original first?
Original first.
All right. You have Anora, written by Sean Baker. The Brutalist by Brady Corbet and Mona Fastvold. A Real Pain by Jesse Eisenberg. September 5... Is that the name of it? Not September 5th, September 5th.
I guess.
September 5th, written by Moritz Binder, Tim Felbaum, and co-written by Alex David. What does that mean, co-written? I've never seen that before. It's like it's not written by those three people. It's written by the first two and then co-written. So does that person have half the script and the other two have the other half? Oh. How does that even work?
That probably gets down to like bizarre negotiation.
Did you notice that there's like three or four movies today? Because, you know, when they announce Best Picture, it names the producers underneath. Mm-hmm. Because if the movie wins, those are the people that actually get the Oscar. So there's like three or four movies today that says TBA on the producers. And it kind of became like a running joke because it was like there's like three or four movies that it's like, how do you not know who is going to get this Oscar if they win? How is that not done way, way, way in fucking advance? How do you not know? It's a
well-oiled machine, Joy.
There's so many people putting money in there that everyone has to, you know, get on board, I guess. And then finally, mm-hmm. The Substance by Coralie Fargeau.
Yeah.
I hope she gets it.
Me too. Well, The Substance is the only film in this category that I've seen so far, so it's hard for me to weigh in at the moment, so I'm really not going to. Just know that out of the five of these, September 5 is the one I really have no interest in watching at all.
What is that one about?
Terrorist attack.
Is that the one for the Olympics?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the Olympic one.
I mean, they made like two movies, and now there's another one?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, let's see. During the 1972 Summer Olympics in Munich, Germany, an American sports broadcasting team must adapt to live coverage. Oh, it's another angle. Got it. Of the athletes being held hostage by a terrorist group. All right. So it's like Spielberg's film Munich was about going in for the rescue. This is about covering it. And then there's like another film where it kind of talks a little bit about everything, I guess. I don't even remember the name of that movie, but or maybe it was a TV movie. But Munich has been done more than a couple of times. So
yeah, which is probably why it didn't get much more attention than original screenplay.
All right.
It's not really that topical.
And we'll end on adapted screenplay.
This year I'm going to make a sincere effort to try to read any novels that were adapted this year.
Okay.
Just saying it now so I can laugh at me when I don't do it.
Got it. That's why I don't say stuff like that. Because I know I'm not gonna. I just don't have the fucking time. I have to listen to audiobooks in my vehicle. That's how little time I have to read these days.
We got you.
Complete Unknown, screenplay by James Mangold and Jay Cox. Conclave.
I'm not reading that.
By Peter Strohan.
I might read that.
Emilia Perez by Jacques Audiard. In collaboration with Thomas Bidgain, Lea Misius, and Nicholas Levecci. Nickel Boys, screenplay by Ramel Ross and Jocelyn Barnes. And Sing Sing by Clint Bentley, Greg Quadar, story by Clint Bentley, Greg Quadar, Clarence Macklin, and John Divine G. Whitefield.
I'm not reading that, just because there's so many authors.
Divine G.
I don't know. I don't know if all these are based on novels or if they're like magazine articles or what have you. So I have to look into that.
Oh, and I know I said we were going to stop on that, but real quick, one of the categories I like is the directing category. And the reason I like that is because I feel that that is still a true category of if there was still five nominations, these are the true films that would have been nominated. And it's Anora by Sean Baker, The Brutalist by Brady Corbet, A Complete Unknown by James Mangold, Emilia Perez by Jacques Audiard, and The Substance by Coralie Fargeau. Now, that's kind of cool to me because if my theory about the best directing is that's your true close to if they still had five nominations instead of 10, that means The Substance is nominated for Best Picture and Director in a five nomination style format. And I just love that. I love that that film is getting the recognition that it deserves. And it came out in September. It came out early, in my opinion. But I know what they were shooting for. they were shooting for the Halloween crowd, but
yeah,
you know, it probably should have been released closer to Halloween. It might have done a little better. But I'm glad that it got its recognition. Win or lose. All right. So those are that's the Oscar show. Those are the nominations. It's going to be an interesting year. I have no idea how to gauge any of this stuff. I think I'm going to do really bad guessing this year. I just have that feeling. I normally don't. I just can't. I can't get a hold on what's going to win and what's not. I just can't. This is going to be one of those years where Joey's going to have like 6 or 7 right.
I already beat you by one last year, so anything could happen now.
Anything can happen now. Scott beat me first time ever. So
was it the first time?
No, I think we tied. I think it was the first time. I don't remember. You're asking the wrong guy. For someone that wins so often, I don't remember. I just remember winning. Winning. It's tiger blood.
All right, easy there.
All right,
wrap it up, sir. Wrap it up.
It's good water. All right, everybody. As always, thank you for joining us. Episode 430 of Movie Sucktastic. You can listen to this show right from the website at moviesucktastic.com. You can get it from iTunes as well, and you can get it just about anywhere else. Just do a search for us on the web, and all of our podcasts are free. We don't charge for them. You can download and listen to all 400 and this up to this episode 430. You can go to moviesucktastic.com and you can get all of that there. You can go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic and you see whatever we post there as well. You can leave us email at themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com. Right now, for whatever reason, email only works on the website. I'm actually redoing the whole hosting service for the website. That's going to be fucking fun. That's coming up in about 2 weeks to a month. Can't wait. If you want to leave us voicemail, it's 908-514-4470. If you can go download our podcast player, it's at moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk, or just go to your Apple or Android phone downloading service and just do a search for a podcast player and then do a search for Movie Sucktastic, and we come right up. You'll find us everywhere. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
Yes, fuck the Oscars.
That's his words of wisdom every year. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next when we review Wicked.
Popular.
Oh, no. Bye-bye.
Bye.